Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, February the 3rd, and we'll be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez here in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about what is happening down on the border and what many of us believe will be a major border crisis that I believe will have serious political consequences for the Biden administration. I mean, look, when you have a border crisis in the middle of a pandemic, that is really something you don't want to do. And when you go out of your way to call on these people to come to the United States, or basically, I mean, you don't necessarily call them, but what you do is you tell them you're going to reverse all of President Trump's rules and regulations that made it, of course, effective to deal with the border. I mean, the fact is that the Trump policies were working quite well. And that's why the border situation was straightened out. So we'll hear what George has to say. You know, he's down there. He's down there, and he is on top of it. He knows quite a few people who work for the Border Patrol, and I'm sure we can hear a little bit of what they have to say from George. But so we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the problem with the children. You know, the point of view is that this is a humanitarian mission, you know, joining families together or rejoining families or bringing children and families together. And I think all of us, at least I do, I'm willing to accept that humanitarian objective. But the question is, what are you going to do with these families once they are reunited? You know, where are they going to work? Where are they going to find jobs? Are they just going to walk into the country in the middle of a pandemic coming from Mexico, where the pandemic is pretty bad? Central America, I don't have any official figures, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's pretty bad too. So, I mean, you got to think about all this stuff, and I think the Biden administration has sort of pandered here a little bit to the immigration activists by encouraging this kind of activity on the border, and I think they're going to regret it. They're going to regret it when it gets out of hand. So we'll wait for George to check in with us. He'll be calling in a minute. In fact, he's on the phone right now, so let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. George, give me a report. How's the weather in San Antonio?
It's gorgeous today.
All right.
It's really nice tonight. I mean, in fact, I was running late because I was out walking the dog, and it's really pretty outside. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's one of those Chamber of Commerce nights.
Well, I'll forgive you if you love your dog more than you love me. I'll forgive you for that. I'll forgive you for that. I think that's certainly an understandable point of view. But before we get to all the serious stuff, and we sure got some serious stuff tonight to get to, George, I just wanted to mention this because music fans have heard the phrase, "the day the music died."
Yes.
And it became popular with that song, American Pie.
Right.
Don McLean recorded that in 1972 or 71, or yeah, 72, I think it was. About this time in 1972, it was in the charts. And, of course, that was that song with very complicated lyrics until we figured out that he was talking about Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper and all of that, who were killed in a plane crash early the morning of February the 3rd, 1959, or that would be 62 years ago today.
My goodness.
Yeah, isn't that something? Movies have been made about this. The Buddy
Holly
story. Buddy Holly's story was a great movie.
I loved it.
I would recommend that to anybody. La Bamba was a movie that was made about Ritchie Valens, who was the young Mexican-American from L.A., who he was the first Mexican-American rocker to have a radio a song on the radio. So anyway, I just thought I would remind the audience of this because, you know, 62 years is a long time and people tend to forget. But I'll just leave you with this thought.
And their music lives on, man.
Well, that's it. That's it. And Buddy Holly is number 13 on the list of the top 100 artists. Rolling Stone magazine. You know, by the way, when Rolling Stone magazine is talking about music, they do a good job. When they get into politics, that's not, I mean, they mess it up.
It's just not their thing.
No, not their thing. They need to stay away from politics and just go back to music. But Rolling Stone has this chart of the top rock artists of all time. Buddy Holly's number 13 in their opinion. And number 13.
You know, another interesting thing is that Buddy Holly was from Lubbock, and the Big Bopper was from Beaumont.
Oh, I didn't know that about Beaumont. I didn't know that the Big Bopper was from Beaumont. I knew that Buddy Holly was from Lubbock because I've been to his grave, and I've been to the museum there in Lubbock that they built in his memory. But I didn't realize the Big Bopper was from Beaumont. Wow. And he was a DJ, if I recall.
He was a jockey there before he made it big with his record. And I visited his studio in Beaumont. It's become a big shrine, so to speak, and it commemorates the three of them. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, of course, he was of the three. He was the lesser known of the three.
Correct.
Obviously, Buddy Holly was the big star, and Ritchie Valens was probably number two, and then the Big Bopper. But all three were killed in a plane crash. They were doing, as the story goes, they were doing a show in Iowa. The bus broke down, and they rented a plane to get to wherever they were going. Unfortunately, the plane ran into a very heavy ice storm, and, well, sadly, all three crashed with the plane there in Clearwater, Iowa, I believe, in some cornfields, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, the day the music died, 62 years ago today, just a fascinating, fascinating story. Well, George, let's get to the current events. I was mentioning in the introduction that President Biden has created a crisis that he's going to regret.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He has created a crisis on the border. It's not quite – this is going to get a lot worse. It's building up. But he's created a border crisis in the middle of a pandemic. If there was ever a time for a president of the United States to say, hey, look, folks, I'm sorry. You can't come in right now. We got a pandemic. I don't know that anybody would criticize him for that. But now, you know, he's basically saying we're going to reverse everything that Trump did and we're going to have a more humane approach. Well, let's see how that looks like in about 6 months. Because I think, George, I think it's going to get chaotic. Well, that's my point. Yeah, humane for who? But this is going to look chaotic. I mean, this is going to be madness in 6 months. And right now, there are some people on the border right now. Why don't you fill us in a little bit about that? Because I know you have friends at the Border Patrol. Where is the situation right now, George?
Well, the situation, let me tell you, I have I've spoken to friends down in the Rio Grande Valley in Brownsville and McAllen specifically because that's a big port of entry. But in this case, the caravan, for some reason, the people have been deviating over to Del Rio more so than they have to Laredo or McAllen and Brownsville, and they have in the past. Apparently, the word has gotten out that there's fewer Border Patrol agents in Del Rio because it's a smaller station. But, however, at all five, El Paso, Del Rio, Laredo, Brownsville, and McAllen, the number, the tide, I mean, it's scary. The number of people that have started gathering on the other side to get across is scary. It really is. I had an opportunity to be down there on Sunday and look out across the river with some binoculars, courtesy of one of the local police officers and Department of Public Safety guys. And I will tell you, the number of tents and encampments across the river that we saw was just amazing. I mean, it's
now this is in Mexico, George.
This is on the Mexican side. We were looking out.
They're on the Mexican side right now. Okay, so obviously, I'm trying to put the story together.
Huge.
So forgive me for interrupting you, but I'm just trying to make sure that I follow the timeline. So
we're sitting on a hill, right at the edge of the river on the U.S. side, and we're looking with binoculars across the river to the Mexican side. And the Mexican side is this huge tent city. I mean, huge.
Okay. So these people somehow got to the border through Mexico then.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that. And the reason I say that is because the understanding was that they were not going to be allowed to go through Mexico. Now, I'm assuming some of these people are Mexicans. They're not all Central Americans.
Yeah,
but,
well, you know, not only are they not all Central Americans, they're also there was a contingency of about, they estimated about 500 Cubans that rushed the bridge just before New Year's, in Del Rio, and that was the first skirmish that they had since that time. They've had several other ones as other folks have tried to run across the bridge. And literally, you know, present themselves. What's very, very interesting, though, is also the number of children that are being ferried across. And all of the children, I mean, you know, some of them look young, and I don't think they're, you know, I think that they're adults that just look young. But a lot of them, all of these kids are presenting themselves. It's like they have been trained. Mm-hmm. They are all presenting themselves to the Border Patrol, saying that they're looking for family members, and thus they are placed in custody. And as soon as the Biden family reunification project kicks in, which, you know, was one of the things that he signed, we're going to have to, you know, find families for these folks or else let the families cross.
Okay, so now you've got a situation where they're sitting on the Mexico side of the border. Obviously, they want to get over here. I mean, they're just waiting for the opportunity, and none of these people want to live in Mexico. That's why they want to. That's just a stepping stone to get to the United States. I mean, that's all that
correct.
Is. Now, when I talked, let me just take the issue in another direction for a minute. When I talk to people in Mexico, they're not happy with this either.
Oh, don't.
I mean, I was on the phone with a couple of Mexican friends.
They want to kick them out quick.
Yeah, they want to send them back to Central America. They say, what are these people doing here? Don't they understand that we have this terrible pandemic, which is another problem? The pandemic in Mexico is pretty serious. You know, I have quite a few friends who've passed away from COVID down there. It's a serious problem in Mexico right now, COVID. So that, of course, makes things more complicated. But here's the issue, George, that I want to get your input on. What they're telling us, of course, you know, they're pulling our heartstrings in a way. They're saying, well, you know, we want to reunite families with children. And I guess on a purely humanitarian basis, I don't have a problem with that. If you want to, you know, reunite the children with their parents, okay. I mean, I understand that part. But my question is, what do we do then when the family is reunited? Are we going to bring them to the United States? And where are these people going to go in the United States? Are we going to give them a COVID test? I mean, are we going to give them a vaccine?
I think, Sylvia, what they're going to do is they're going to follow the plan or the process that was done under Obama, which was that the families will just be registered and released. You know, they also call it catch and release. But what they're going to do is the family will be reunified or whatever. They'll present themselves. They will be given a court date for which they can reappear to either ask for their asylum or ask for their stay, argue their case for it. And they'll be given a date, and they'll be released. And, you know, we'll be looking at the same situation we were looking at before where, you know, 90% of them disappear into the United States and we never see them again.
Right.
And
this is why
Trump instituted the stay in Mexico, you know,
right.
because...
Exactly.
You know,
right.
because
well, they stay in Mexico,
didn't want to release them into the United States. But I think
exactly.
this is exactly what we're going to see happening.
Right. No, it's insanity given the pandemic. Now, let's go a step further. Let's say that these people say, okay, look, here's your, you know, we'll let you know about your court date and you're free to go. Here's the dilemma. Let's say they go to Los Angeles, which is apparently a very popular destination for many Central Americans. They go to Los Angeles and they get there and half of the restaurants are closed, maybe more.
Where are they going to work?
Well, that's it. Where are these people going to work? Who's going to take care of these people? Who's going to take care of the children? Who's going to provide money for them to live? Where are they going to live? So
yep.
it seems to me that this is a nightmare. I mean, this is a crisis about to explode. And I am amazed that the Biden administration doesn't see this coming. Because this is not going to be popular.
These are things, though. These are issues that you are raising. These are questions that you are raising that have been raised by both the immigration enforcement folks as well as Homeland Security as well as, other agencies. Even Fauci, my understanding was that he raised this question about, who we're going to let in and how we're going to check them to be sure that that they're coming. I mean, you know, you can't enter certain places right now without your temperature being checked. Well, that's the way it should be at the border.
Right.
And, these questions just have been ignored. And this is what's really disturbing about this administration is that they're not operating in a vacuum. They are not operating in a vacuum of a lack of knowledge. They are operating willfully. And, we have seen how many people, because of the lack of health services and health facilities in Mexico and in the third world, are clamoring to get into the United States to get assistance. Well, the overload of health facilities in El Paso, for example, and in Laredo, is a direct result of people crossing and getting medical assistance. And it boggles the mind that that Biden and his folks don't understand that or don't seem to care about it.
Right. No, I think that's it. I mean, it's purely they are pandering. They are pandering to the left. They're pandering to immigration activists. None of this ever came up during the campaign. That's what makes me angry. Was there ever really a debate about any of this during the campaign? Did anybody in the press, did anybody in the press say, okay, Mr. Biden, you have to answer this question? I mean, the guy was hiding in the basement of his house. Nobody in the media wanted to ask him any questions. They just left him in the basement of the house. And nobody asked him a question. Okay, how are you going to bring these people in the middle of a pandemic? No, he was given a free pass in all of this. And now, we got to deal with a problem in the middle of a pandemic, which is what makes it all worse. George, let me take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue our conversation at the crisis in the border that is going to get really bad for President Biden. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting tonight about the crisis on the border, a crisis that I believe is going to be 10 times bigger than it was during President Obama's administration. We were simply putting kids in cages in South Texas. This is a lot worse than that, and that's because of the fact that there's a pandemic. George, let me ask you another question. Is Texas going to let these people in, given the pandemic? I mean, is Governor Abbott going to say, yeah, just come right in, and, you know, we got plenty of hospitals. We don't really. Many of our hospitals are, especially down there in the south of Texas. So, hey, just come right in. Hey, just come right in. We need more people. I mean, Texas is not going to allow this. So,
that's the question. I mean, that is the issue. As far as how resolute are we in taking care of our own citizens at this point, that's number one. Number two is that, you hear the argument immediately that immigration is a federal issue, not a state issue. Well, not during a pandemic. The other thing is that you constantly hear as to whether or not, the state law enforcement has the right to even ask somebody whether or not they are legally in the United States. And what is happening right now, not only are people rushing across the points of entry, people are being ferried in numbers, in great numbers, across the river illegally. I was, again, from my visit to Del Rio, I was talking with one of the Border Patrol agents who works up further up the river in a less populated area. And he was telling me that, these inner tube guys can make up to $1,000 in a 2-hour period of ferrying people across the river in the less populated areas. And, you've got agents that are patrolling the area who will run into groups as large as 500 at a time. I mean, so, those are the people that are being caught. Imagine the people that are not being caught.
Yeah,
so,
I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand.
It is just amazing.
George.
I mean, it's just tremendous, the number.
Yeah. I don't understand how my guess, and I'm just a guess on my part, but I think Governor Abbott is going to put his foot down and say, no, we're not going to let you in. And if I have to put the Texas National Guard on the border, I will. And then he'll just throw it right back at the Biden administration and say, look, it's your responsibility to protect the border. But if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to do it because I got to protect my citizens. I mean, I keep going back to this thing about the pandemic, George. We have a pandemic. And it's, not a very good time to be bringing in people, especially people that you don't know.
The vaccine is not. We're not getting. I have been trying for the past 2 weeks to get registered to take get the vaccine, and within minutes that registration opens up, it closes because there's so many people. Registering to get the vaccine. So if I can't get the vaccine, how the heck do you want me to be feeling comfortable in contact with people who are just crossing the river? Come on.
Well, not only that, George, that's a very good point that you're making. There's the other issue, too. I mean, I watch these statistics every day about the number of cases and the number of hospital beds. And, so far, I think we've done a pretty decent job here in Texas. But, it's a pandemic. Nobody denies that.
We could get overwhelmed very easily.
We can get overwhelmed very easily because, if the word gets out that, hey, you can go up north. My sense, George, this is utterly irresponsible on the part of the Biden administration. I mean, I think that it's insanity. And it surprises me that President Biden, who was supposed to bring us together, would do something like this. It would have made a lot more sense if he had told all these immigration activists and told them, look, guys, I understand, but we can't do it right now. We got to wait a year or so, and let's get this pandemic out of the way first. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because Joe Biden isn't in control of the situation. He may not be.
He may not be.
I have a feeling that he's being told what to do a lot. But the bottom line is that I think we have a crisis here, And as I was telling, I was saying to someone the other day, if I was a Democrat running for re-election in 2022, I'd be very worried about this crisis because this is not going to play well for the Democrats. This
issue that played the best in South Texas, particularly along the border, for Trump was border security and illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
And it was surprising to me, it really was, that he didn't play that more, or that he didn't demand more from the Democrats to explain their position on illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the national media was not going to ask for details or push the issue for Biden. We knew that was going to happen, but I think that Republicans should have pushed that a whole lot more, because look at it. I mean, this has the potential of being extremely disastrous for the nation, but it also has the potential to be a very, very good issue for Republicans to run on.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to be devastating for the Democrats. Two things, and I'll just repeat them. And President Biden has created both of these crises. The first one is gasoline prices. Old enough to remember what happens when gasoline goes up. Just mention the name of Jimmy Carter.
Yep.
And remember what a disaster politically that was. And now you've got gasoline prices on top of a border crisis in the middle of a pandemic. I have no idea what Joe Biden is thinking, but he's not thinking.
It really is. I mean, it's like a perfect storm.
It is. It is. And it's all self-created. None of this had to happen. None of this had to happen. If Joe Biden had said to the immigration activists, look, guys, I know what I said, but look, we got a pandemic. I got to worry about that first. But apparently, they decided to go with this. I'm not exactly sure who's demanding this, who's calling for this. I don't see this great wave of support in the country for opening up the borders in the middle of a pandemic, so I have no idea what polling data they're looking at. But anyway, it's going to be a mess, and I appreciate, George, your being with us tonight, because this is I just cannot believe what we're about to see.
It is. I mean, I want to emphasize that. I want to scare people, but I do want to emphasize that the number of people gathering at the border as we speak is growing, I'd say hourly. It's growing.
Yeah, well, I believe
in anticipation of people just, these people are anticipating just being given a green light to come across.
What is one more question? See, I have to believe that Governor Abbott is aware of this, and that Governor Abbott will say, no, we're not going to accept these people. I mean, I don't blame him for saying that. In fact, I hope he does that. I hope he draws the line and says, no, we cannot accept these people in the middle of a pandemic, and if the federal government is not going to do it, Texas is going to do it. And I look at New Mexico, I look at Arizona, and I look at Southern California. I mean, is Southern California going to start taking people as bad as things are over there, George? I don't see that happening.
And we're talking about people who are sick. We also don't know, because one of the things that they want to do away with is also the ban on certain, what they call the Muslim travel ban, which was never a Muslim travel ban.
Yeah, sure.
But the travel ban on certain countries, no one is going to be asked what country they're from anymore. And so even if they do cross, we don't know, whether they're criminals or terrorists or they're sick. And I'm just dismayed by the Biden administration. I just am.
Yeah, no, I cannot believe it either. And, I'm willing to. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not terrorists. I'll give them that. I mean, I'll be charitable and give them that. But I cannot give these people the same benefit of the doubt when it comes to the pandemic, because I have no idea where they're coming from. And I know
I guarantee that the infection rate in those camps is extremely high.
Well, that's the other problem, and these people are being exposed to our Border Patrol people. I mean, that is. I hope our Border Patrol people are protecting themselves. But anyway, what a mess. What an absolute mess. And it is a self-created problem. This did not have to happen. Did not have to happen. One of the great things that Trump did, I think you would agree with me, one of the great things that Trump did was that he stabilized the border.
Yep.
And you know, we didn't have these problems. Which leads me to think, George, looking ahead 6 months down the road, 9 months down the road, maybe people are going to be nostalgic for Trump, his gasoline prices, and the stable border. I have a feeling they will be.
Yep, I bet.
Yeah. You know, they may not want Trump back, but they're certainly going to be interested in bringing back some of the things he did. But what a mess in the border. George, as always, thank you so much. Are you doing any book presentations this month, or are you
going to
stick
around? I am speaking alongside the state party chairman, Alan West, on Saturday in Houston to support the legislative agenda. We're hoping to do that. And then I will be heading down to Corpus to do a book presentation. So,
well, great. And the book is available in Amazon, right?
Amazon, while it's still available, go ahead and buy it.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we have a link to it, I think, on the website.
Yes.
And please check out George's book. El Conservador Opinions, right? I think that's what it's called.
Conservative Opinions.
Okay. Very good. Conservative Opinions by El Conservador.
You got it.
Yeah, that's a great title. I like that. All right, George, thank you so much for your time
tonight.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks
for joining us. Thanks for joining us on short notice. And keep an eye on the stuff down there. Let us know, and we'll do another show.
You got it, buddy. Have a good one.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much. Thank you so much. George Rodriguez down in South Texas. We check with him from time to time just to see what's going on down there. I am absolutely astonished. Let me just take a minute here at the close and share with you my frustration. I am absolutely astonished about what's going on the border. And this is a self-inflicted problem. This did not have to happen. One of the great things that President Trump did was that he stabilized the border. And he did it by making logical arrangements with Mexico and Central America. And I'm sure he made some deals. I don't know exactly all the deals he made, but the result was that the border was stable. And now the border is going to be very unstable. And this is all going to happen in the middle of a pandemic? This is crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. And I sure hope that the Governor Abbott will stand up and say, we're not going to play this game. And if I have to put the National Guard on the border, I will. So I'm confident that Governor Abbott sees the mistake that the Biden administration is making here. I'm not sure the Biden administration or that President Biden himself really knows much of what's going on. But anyway, that's just a personal observation. But the problem is, it's going to get very serious on the border. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.